لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبو القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لهم فداء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقده من لساني يفقهوا قولي. So dear brothers and sisters, Alhamdulillah, Allah has given us tawfiq to be here together one more night. Before I forget, I'd like to remind all of us, especially myself, about the importance of the Day of Quds. Unfortunately, I didn't remember to make an announcement here and explain the importance of the Day of Quds, but let us remember our responsibility and hopefully all see one another on that day. The day when we demonstrate to the Imam of the time, to ourselves, to God, that we're not people who are silent in the face of oppression, especially the worst type of oppression, which has been happening so long to those people. The crimes that are committed by the Zionist regime are such that if we saw them being inflicted on any nation, we'd be up in arms, let alone that many crimes on this poor nation of people. Inshallah, we'll all be there. Now, our discussion, brothers and sisters, was on the concept of Iman. And we talked about several points, several conditions for having true faith. The first was the idea that true faith must be an intellectual realization. We have to have yaqeen and certainty that the Quran, for instance, is the word of God. There's actually an important discussion in the ayat of the Quran about the concept of tahaddi, where Allah challenges others to disprove the Quran, proving the Quran to be a miracle, proving our various beliefs and our aqidah that's absolutely necessary for being a true mu'min. There are beautiful arguments, brothers and sisters, where the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam, would argue and convince people about the existence of God. So, that's one discussion. The second discussion that we had was the idea that true faith must be dynamic. True faith requires action. True faith is not only in the heart that I believe, but rather it's going to be demonstrated in my actions. And the verse that we quoted was Surah 8 and verse number 1, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَفِيُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. Obey Allah and the Prophet if you are believers. If you don't obey Allah and the Prophet, then obviously you're not a believer. Now, today's discussion is about something even different. Another necessary discussion. The thing about today's discussion is this. This is one of those obstacles to the return of the Imam. One of those things that has been dogging this ummah, even for previous imams. This is going to be, inshallah, the third condition for our faith to count, for our iman to be true. But this is not a light discussion. I want to give examples, because again, brothers and sisters, we came to this conclusion that in order for us to do our responsibility, not only do we have to understand the concepts, we have to share them. Do you want to talk to other mu'mineen and mu'minat? Do you want to even talk to those outside of the circle of Islam? Do you want to talk to our Sunni brothers and sisters? Right? Do you want to talk to everybody and explain to them what Islam is saying when it comes to faith? Now, let's be honest with one another, brothers and sisters. If you and I look at the laws that are there in Islam, the rules that are there in Islam, we notice that there are some laws which automatically are easier to accept. They don't cost much. They are in line with what we want. It's a lot easier to accept those laws. But if we're honest with ourselves, we look at certain laws of Islam, we realize there are certain laws that are difficult, certain laws that are challenging, certain laws that cause me to go out of my comfort zone, certain rules of Islam, certain parts of Islam. And what happens is, with some people, when it comes to those laws that push them outside of their comfort zone, make them do something that goes against their personal interests, sometimes we see Muslims seem to pick and choose. I remember a story once. There was a man, and he was in the Islamic Republic of Iran. He was just coming out of one of those fresh bakeries. They have bakeries over there. You can go over and get fresh bread. Inshallah, those of you who haven't been for Ziyarah, inshallah, you'll go for Ziyarah. Those of you who have been for Ziyarah, inshallah, you'll go again for Ziyarah. When you go over there, you'll notice one of the things they have is they have these bakeries, these small bakeries where they sell fresh bread. So a guy was coming out of one of the bakeries, and he had my personal favorite bread out of the Iranian breads. It's called Nuni Sangat. So he has some of this bread, he's coming out of the thing, and a poor person comes over to him. When the poor person comes over to him, he starts talking about his poverty and his misery and how sad he is and how difficult life is. And the guy is so moved hearing him talk about his miserable, sad life. The guy with the bread, with the Nuni Sangat, he starts to cry. The poor person says, instead of crying so much, why don't you give me some of that bread? The guy looked at him. He said, I'll cry for you as much as you want, but you're not getting any of the bread. If it's tears you want, alhamdulillah, I'm there for you. Right? Giving, the part that goes against my personal interest, no. So, what we're going to do is this, inshallah. This is, because I said this is an issue that has been troubling this ummah. One of the major obstacles to the reward of the imam is this same issue. Why is it? We're going to cover a couple of things. One, what does God think? What does Quran say about Muslims who pick and choose? About Muslims who, when I feel like it, I do. When I don't feel like it, I don't. What does God say about it? Secondly, why is it people do that? Why do people do that? What is it? What's wrong with the practice of people, the iman of people, the faith of people? They would do that. Thirdly, what are some of the issues that people do it on? Let's make it practical. And then finally, what's the most challenging issue? What's the issue people keep failing on? Why do you say this is the reason stopping the imam from returning? What are we talking about? So, the first one, I'll make it easy on you, brothers and sisters. Islam's approach is not we can pick and choose. Islam's approach is not that I like this part of Islam, these are good things, I do those other things. And you'd be surprised, brothers and sisters. There are people who pick and choose when it comes to Islam, and they're quite at peace with themselves. They feel quite holy and pious. They don't even feel anything's wrong. They need to have these discussions. You and I need to, first of all, understand it ourselves and implement it. Then because we know people are good-hearted people, they want the imam to return, they need to have these discussions. So, what we'll find out from Islam, and this is why it was so important for us to be intellectually convinced the Quran is the word of God. Amir al-Mu'mineen is the first imam, divinely appointed, intellectually convinced. Why? Because after that, after you're intellectually convinced, then we have demands from you. Then Islam has demands from you. What does Islam say? Al-Islam huwa taslim. Islam is submission. Al-Islam huwa taslim. Amir al-Mu'mineen. Islam is submission. After I made, after I realize this is the word of God, God is speaking to me, then after that, there's no question. Islam is not a buffet. We don't go, I like this, right? God said it. So that's why you'll see true believers. Another thing you notice about true believers is this. You won't see a true believer when it comes to certain laws of Allah that Allah considers to be not as important. Wajibat still, but not as important. That you'll see the believer up in arms, and then something that God says is a crime, is an issue, that same believer is at peace with them. If we understand, brothers and sisters, every law in the Quran, those things that are established in the Sunnah, that's the word of our God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're all from one source, then we don't have the right to pick and choose. True faith, submission to all of Allah's laws, commitment to all of Allah's laws, embracing all of Allah's laws. Now, I want to give some examples, because this issue is talked about in the Quran in many places. I want to give some stories from the Quran. The first story, brothers and sisters, is from Surah Baqarah. It's verses numbered 84 and 85. I'm going to just read part of the verse. Let me tell you what the story is. There was a group of the Jews, right? The Muslims in the time of Musa, they would have been the Jews. Right? If we were there in the time of Musa, we would have followed Musa. If we were in the time of Isa, we would have followed Isa. There were a group of the Jews, the Yahud. These individuals, God said that we took a covenant from them. God took a covenant from them. Your duty as believers, one of them is not to shed the blood of your own. You're not supposed to kill your own people. Not to expel your people from their homes. Right? Rules. God took them, this rule from them. These individuals, they would go over and they would expel other Jews. They would do atrocities against them. They would commit crimes against them, kick them out of their homes, do whatever it took. And the interesting thing the Quran mentions is this. But if they saw these same Jews, the same ones they kicked out, the same ones they were killing, the same ones they were committing atrocities against, if they came back as prisoners, if they were captured in a war, they would refer to their holy books and they'd say, we have to ransom these people. They're Yahud, they're from us. How can you have it? The Yahud have been captured in a war. We don't ransom them? The holy book says. So what happens is, God called them out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't let people get away with having contradictory beliefs. If you were saying that you, because of the holy book, you have to ransom them, you have to pay money if they're captured as prisoners, you don't get to, from the same holy book, then kill them and then drive them out. If they're Yahud, if they're Jews, how come you're killing them? How come you're driving them out? How come you're committing crimes against them? And then be holy now, we're going to refer to the book and say, the book said, we have to ransom them. God calls them out. What does God say, first story? What does God say about those who pick and choose when it comes to deen? This is the words of God now. Surah Baqarah is verse number 85. أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ Do you believe in part of the book? And you disbelieve in part? Oh, yeah, I do. Do you know what the punishment is? If somebody believes in part of the book and they disbelieve in part, what does God do to them? The Quran says, فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ مِنْكُمْ There is no punishment for those who do this except إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا They will be humiliated in this world. وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ أَشَدِّ الْعَذَابِ On the day of judgment, those who pick and choose, those who take parts of Islam and reject parts, they will be put in the most severe punishment. That's one story. If we're going to pick and choose when it comes to religion, we're going to be forced to make some really strange choices. For instance, how many of us have heard of the name of Ma'mun al-Abbasi? Ma'mun. Ma'mun is that Khalifa, that ruler, that Taghut, who killed Imam al-Rida. So, tyrant, Taghut, Ma'mun, the enemy of the Imam. Once Ma'mun went to Hajj. Now, he's telling a story actually. Ma'mun is with his inner circle. And he says, you know how I learned to become Shia? And the people are saying, no, we don't. How did you become Shia? He says, I learned to become Shia from my father, Harun. He said, Harun was Shia? The same person who killed Imam Musa al-Kadhi, he was Shia? He said, yeah, I learned from him. How? He says, what happened was Hajj. We went for Hajj. When we went for Hajj, after the Hajj, he set up a tent. In that tent, we had made arrangements, the royal tent. Harun is sitting there. We would tell anybody who wanted to come into the tent, Harun, my father did this, anybody who wants to come into the tent, he said, you have to tell me your lineage. I'm in Medina now, tell me your lineage. Tell me if you're from Ansar. Tell me if you're from Bani Hashim. Tell me if you're from Muhajirin. People would come and they would visit. He says, my father would give out 200 to 5,000 dinar gold to those depending on their lineage. So we're going, we're sitting in the tent, people are coming in. I'm from this tribe, I'm from that tribe. He says, someone came to the door and he said, my name is Musa ibn Ja'far and my lineage goes to Ali ibn Abi Talib. When he heard this, Harun, he said, let him come in, let him come in. He tells me, Ma'mun, he's telling the story. He told me, my brother, mind your manners. The Imam comes in, the Imam's riding on a donkey. When the Imam sees Harun sitting in the tent, the Imam's going to get down from the donkey, walk over to see him. He says, no, don't get off the donkey. Keep riding the donkey right into the tent. So we're all sitting there in amazement. He comes riding, the Imam riding up to the thing. After that, everybody goes to greet the Imam. Harun comes himself, the Khalifa, the Tawhut of the time. He comes over, the Imam comes down, kisses the Imam on the forehead, takes the Imam, bismillah, they go over, they sit down on the seating area. He sits him in a higher place, and he's only sitting now in a lower place. So they start talking, very warmly, wonderful day, wonderful conversation, talking, how are things going, what happened, the Imam's giving him advice, take care of the poor, this, that, and the other. After that, he gets ready to leave. He tells his boys, the princes, Mahmoud, he says, go over, escort your uncle, help your uncle get back on his ride. The princes, they go over, they're helping the Imam get back on the ride. He says, take your uncle home, you walk home with your uncle, you escort your uncle. They go over, now they're walking with the Imam. Mahmoud says this, he says, when we were going to the house, the Imam turned to me and said something quietly. He said that after your father, you're going to be the Khalifa. Be kind to my children after. Mahmoud says, out of all of the boys, I was the boy, out of all of the sons, my brothers, I was the one who was most daring. So I told my father afterwards. I said, who is that? I want you to listen to the Arabic of what Harun said. This is Arabic you can understand. Harun said this, Hada imamun nas. This is the Imam of the people. Who? Musa ibn Ja'far. Wa hujjatullah ala khalqih. The hujjah of Allah on his creation. Wa khalifatuhu ala ibadih. He's the Khalifa of God, the representative of God over his servants. So Mahmoud, listen to this. He says, but aren't you the Khalifa? Listen to the words of him. He says, no, I'm ruling by force. I rule by force. Continue the rest of the words. Wa Musa ibn Ja'far, Imam al-Haqqin. Musa ibn Ja'far is the real Imam. He says, Wallah ya bunay innahu la haq bi maqami Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam minni wa min al-khalqi jami'a. He says that, Wallah, my son, he is most deserving of the maqam of Rasulullah, more than me and the rest of creation. So then Mahmoud asks the question, well, if that's the case, then what's this about? He said, look, if you argue with me over this throne, I will finish you. I want to rule. But do I know that this is the Imam? Yeah. God appointed him. So if we want to pick and choose, I like this part of his, right? Then we have to say, Mahmoud is also Shia. Like he said, I learned to be Shia from my dad. He was a Shia. What else? I want to give another example. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, you see certain people, when it comes to certain parts of Islam, I'm very serious about it. I take Islam very serious. Allahu Akbar, this is right, this is wrong, halal. Other parts of Islam, no. The parts of Islam, no. What does God say? I mean, we're going to come to verses. What does God say about those who pick and choose? Why is this an obstacle to the coming of the Imam? Next story is about a man named Abdullah bin Khabbab. Abdullah bin Khabbab is the governor of a prophet appointed by Amir al-Mu'mineen for Nahrawan in Iraq, Nahrawan. What happened?
Khawarij, remember the Khawarij? The Khawarij were the people who told Amir al-Mu'mineen that he had to accept the Hakamiyya, that he had to accept arbitration. And then he didn't, and then they separated, and then there was a war. The Khawarij are moving. They're moving towards Nahrawan. They go over and they arrest the governor, Abdullah bin Khabbab, and his wife. His wife is heavily pregnant. Heavily pregnant. When they go and they arrest his wife, him and his wife, they question him, what do you believe about Ali? What do you believe about the other Khulafa? Those explanations, Ali is going, Ali is not religion. They said, oh? They said, we're going to kill you. You're following personality, you're following your nafs. We're going to kill you in a way that we're going to kill anybody. You know what they did to Abdullah? I'm still telling you the rest of the story. What they did to Abdullah? They killed Abdullah. They slit his throat. They killed him. They killed his wife who was pregnant. They took the baby out, killed the baby. But what happened is important. So they go over and they take Abdullah and they bring him by a date palm to the date tree. He's over there. He's tied up. He's sitting by the date tree. When he comes to that date tree, one of the Khawarij, these dates are on the ground, picks up a date and eats. The other one, did you just get a date without permission? Did you ask if you could have that date? Spits it out. Another one of the Khawarij takes a sword or a weapon, a pig comes by, a pig, khinzir. He hits the animal, kills it. They said, that pig belonged to somebody? One of the Ahlul Dhimma, one of the people under the protection of the Islamic State, that was their pig. What did they say? قَالُوا هَذَا فَسَادٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ. This is corruption in the land. How do you kill somebody's pig without permission? Abdullah's watching all of this. Then they kill Abdullah. For one part of the religion, I am very serious. Then another, slaughter of the innocent, قَتْلُمْ نَفْسِ. I'm picking and choosing. So, our first part of the discussion is, what does God say about it? I'm going to share some words about it. What's to think about? And then you and I, why are we thinking about this? How do we prepare for the return of the Mahdi? What does God say about this? These verses, Surah, brothers and sisters, Surah 24, verses number 47, I'll be reading them quickly, but I just want us to see what God said. This first part, the last part of this first verse, is very important. It's talking about these same groups. وَيَقُولُونَ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالرَّسُولِ وَأَطَعْنَا. They say that we believe in Allah and the Rasul, and we have obeyed. ثُمَّ يَتَوَلَّ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ. After that, some of them turn away. وَمَا أُولَٰئِكَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That's an important part. They are not, the Qur'an now. They are not mu'mineen. مَا أُولَٰئِكَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ. What else? By the way, these aren't kuffar, by the way. These are regular Muslims. These are people like me and you. Okay? People like me and you. What does it mean to be a mu'min? What are these people like? These people, God just said, وَمَا أُولَٰئِكَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ. They are not mu'mineen. What are they like? وَإِذَا دُعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. When they are called to Allah and the Prophet, لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَهُمْ. That God, that the Prophet decide between them, إِذَا فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ. Suddenly you see that? A group of them turn away. And you call and say, let's decide by Allah and the Prophet. Suddenly these people, they turn away. But, وَإِنْ يَكُنْ لَهُمُ الْحَقِّ يَعْتُوا إِلَيْهِ مُذْعِنِينَ. But when haqq is on their side, well, they come to it very simply. Allahu Akbar, Bismillah, Allahumma salli Muhammad, the Prophet, Allah, Quran. Why do people do that? I remember a story once. They said that there was this lady who was working in an office for a church. And somebody called up the church. He said that, I want to speak to the head hog at the trough. The secretary was very upset. He said, the head hog at the trough? You mean the pastor? You can't talk to the pastor like that. If you want to call him, say the pastor, and then you can talk to him. He said, that's okay. I wanted to donate $10,000 to the church. He said, hold on. Porky just walked in. Why are some people like that when it comes to their side of the religion? What they want, oh! God talks about that. Why is it people are like that? God does analysis now. We still haven't come to what's the big challenge. Why? God gives three reasons. Why is it that somebody will go, and when it comes to certain parts of Islam that are in their favor, Bismillah. Other parts of Islam that go against their interests, I can't do that. I don't like that. I'm not comfortable with that. Three reasons in the Quran. Next verse. أَفِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ. Is there sickness in their hearts? Is that what it is? Sometimes someone has a sickness. Jahl, for instance. Kibr, arrogance. Right? Different diseases, nifaq. Right? Different diseases in the soul. And these diseases prevent one from submitting. Is it that? Or is it something worse than that? The Quran continues. Am irtabu. Oh, no, worse than that. Or is it the case that somebody actually has doubt in the religion? I'm not sure of God.
Is this really?
I'm irtabu. Or is it even worse than that? Worse than the disease in the heart? Worse than doubting? Or is it this? أَمْ يَخَافُونَ أَنْ يَحِيفَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَرَسُولُهُ. Worse than that. What's worse than those two? Maybe I'm afraid that Allah and the Prophet will do wrong to me. They will oppress me. If I go and accept... If somebody thinks that, I think so little of God that if I obey Him, I'm going to lose. God will do wrong. The Prophet will do wrong. How can I submit? If somebody thinks that, that means they haven't understood God at all. That's kufr. That means I don't even you believe there's a God? I think they're going to. Then it says something else. It says, بَلْ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. No, they're God. God's not God. The Prophet's not God. That person, if they get power, they're ظَالِمُونَ. And just a matter of now, either I'm zalim to my own nafs or zalim to other people, right? Depends what I can do. I'm zalim if I take control. What are the believers doing? Right? The third condition for Imam, in order for us to be useful for the cause, in order for us to be able to serve Imam Mahdi, this is what it says. إِنَّمَا كَانَ قَوْلَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. The only thing the believers say, إِذَا دُعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, when they are called to Allah and the Prophet, لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَهُمْ, that God decide between them, أَنْ يَقُولُوا سَمِعْنَا وَعَطَعْنَا. They say, we have heard and we obey. If I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all I can say, God, why don't you say, well, Bismillah, whatever God said. They have heard and they obey. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Those are the people who are successful. Now, where do people slip up? People slip in this area. People slip in many areas. There's so many areas where this verse applies. You'll see it. We've all seen these different things. And then there's one area that's the main area that's stopping Imam Mahdi from coming back. That's been there troubling this Ummah from the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen. I want to talk about that area. Where does this issue comes up? Whenever it's my personal interest? Whenever the social laws of Islam, many times there's certain laws of Islam that is purely individual, making salah. There's other times though that it's my interest. Examples, just examples, brothers and sisters, the principle we know. For instance, in the issue of inheritance. Inheritance. You know how many people cheat their siblings and other relatives? Mu'mineen! When it comes to inheritance? You know another area people slip in? Amr bil ma'aruf wa nahy anil munkar. Right? Social laws. Social laws. You tell me to make salat? Fine. You tell me to have a beard? Fine. You tell me I have to go against somebody? Tell somebody something. Occupations, brothers and sisters. You know how many people, haram occupations, earn haram? Give to the centers. Give for Imam Hussein. But brothers and sisters, God said you can't do this. The issue between husbands and wives, that's another one of those issues. Relationships, another one of those issues. One of those times when people, my interest here. Then they have other ones. Divorce, another one. Polygamy, temporary marriage, those are all big. Other ones, the main one, the political laws of Islam. The political laws of Islam. The political responsibilities of being a mu'min. That's the challenge. That's the time when people abandon the faith. You know what happens in the verses, the hadith of the Ahlul Bayt? They say, irtadda an-nas. Irtadda, brothers and sisters. Irtidad means to become an apostate, a murtad. Irtadda an-nas. When? You know when the test comes? When we go from one wali to the next. One ruler to the next. That's when you see, suddenly, irtadda an-nas. It doesn't mean people start praying. Irtadda an-nas, inda talaq. You hear that in the time of Imam Sajjad. It doesn't mean everybody suddenly stopped making salah. When it came to the political allegiance to the Imam of the time, the new wali after Hussein, right? Now being a Muslim, it suddenly done. Now I have to put it all out there. Then suddenly you see people going, now they're doubting, now I can't do this. Now. And I'm still praying, I'm still fasting. But being a mu'min, it all comes from God. I want to mention something that I need to complete later. As Muslims, we have a very different stance when it comes to obedience. Obedience. I want to give you a story. There's a man named Adi bin Khan. Adi is a new Muslim. He's coming from a Christian background. Adi comes across an ayah of Quran that he thinks is historically inaccurate. He's going to go to the Prophet, I'm going to tell you the story. He's going to go to the Prophet and he's going to ask him, this is an ayah of Quran, what do you say about this ayah? Because the Quran is the word of God, it's got to be true, but what it's saying here is historically inaccurate. Brothers and sisters, this verse applies right now. Look, Surah 9, verse number 31. He comes to it, he says, Ya Rasulullah, he's talking to the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, اتَّقَذُوا أَحْبَارَهُمْ وَرَبَّانَهُمْ أَرْبَابًا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. In the Quran, in Surah 9, verse number 31, it says, they took their scholars and monks as lords, arbab, min dun Allah. He says this, he says, wallah, ma kanu ya'budun, ya'budunahum. He says that, I swear by God, we never used to, I was a Christian before, we didn't used to worship them. What does the Quran say? We took them as lords, besides Allah. The Prophet says, this applies now, brothers and sisters. The Prophet says this, he asks him a question. He says, would it not be the case that they, the leaders, these monks and scholars, they would make something that was halal, haram, and vice versa? Change the deen. Change the deen. How many times have we seen that? The Pope goes over and makes a decision. But according to the Tabalas, being if you're Catholic, you can't. No, he said, wasn't it the case that you were seeing as a Christian, they're changing deen, they're changing God's laws? He said, yeah, that was the case. Listen to what the Prophet said. He says, فَتِلْكَ عِبَادَتُهُمْ. This is ibadah. When you follow them, they change Allah's religion, and you follow them, that's ibadah. You worship them. Now, the last part, and we have to complete this later. So the challenge that's there, that has been troubling this Ummah, has been the idea of obeying our political responsibilities, Islamic political responsibilities, following the wali of the time, going from the Prophet to Ali, going from Hussein to Ali ibn Hussein, right? Obeying the Ahlul Bayt when it means putting your life on the line, when it means going with, when Amir al-Mu'mineen will go to the houses of the believers, right? Lady Fatima would knock on the door and ask them to come and assist Ali. And brothers and sisters, this isn't a historical discussion. There's a wali now. There's political Islam now. There's duties right now. Right? Responsibilities right now. What we're trying to do is we're trying to make our way to the Imam of the time. Otherwise, we have a Wali right now. We have political duties right now. Islam applies to every time and every generation. Question: how serious is this sin? How serious is this sin of not obeying the person who God said we're supposed to follow? Or not obeying the political laws of the outward thing? How big of a sin is this? How seriously does God take this? This is Hadith Qudsi. Let me understand how serious this is. All Allah Azza wa Jalla, God says, لَوْعَذِّبَنَّ كُلَّ رَعِيَّةٍ بِالْإِسْلَامِ, I will definitely punish every group of Muslims. أَفَاءَتْ إِمَامًا جَائِرًا لَيْسَ مِنَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, who follow an imam who is a tyrant, a leader who is a tyrant, who is not from Allah. وَإِنْ كَانَتَ الرَّعِيَّةِ فِي أَعْمَالِهَا بَرَّةً وَتَحِيَّةً, even if this nation, in their personal deeds, بَرَّةً وَتَحِيَّةً, they're doing very well. Making salah, faith, giving sadaqah, doing this, doing that. But when it comes to the greatest law of Allah, and God says, لَعَفْوَنَّ عَنْ كُلِّ رَعِيَّةٍ بِالْإِسْلَامِ, I will definitely forgive every nation, every Muslim nation, أَطَاعَتْ إِمَامًا هَادِيًا مِنَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, I will definitely obey. I can overlook the imam of any nation that obeys an imam who is hadiyan min Allah, a guide from Allah. وَإِنْ كَانَتَ الرَّعِيَّةَ فِي أَعْمَالِهَا ظَالِمَةً مُسِيئَةً, even if the ra'iyya, even if the people in their personal deeds, they have some flaws and some issues, we can fix that, we can work with that. But if I reject the main law, I accept the wilayah of the taghut, I don't obey the wali of the time, then you forget about the rest. Why? Brothers and sisters, you can look in your Aqaid books. What is the greatest obstacle to mankind's salvation? What is the greatest challenge that we face on the face of the earth? How come people aren't going to God? The greatest challenge, brothers and sisters, is not shaitan himself. Shaitan is there. It's not our own nafs. That's also a challenge. It's not the dunya that's drawing us. The greatest obstacle, the biggest challenge, are other human beings. The reason this sin is so heavy is because this goes against the purpose of creation. The wilayah of Tawud is like that. So brothers and sisters, inshallah, we need to make sure that we are careful of this. We're doing our responsibilities. By the way, going to Quds, right? That's our political responsibility. We're oppressed, going against the oppressors of the time. Yes, that means that there's going to be a counter rally by the Zionists. Well, so what? We'll end inshallah with dua, and then we'll see what's the next program. May Allah accept what was said and heard in His way. May He make us amongst the true followers of the Imam of the time. May He hasten the reappearance of our Master. May He forgive our sins, the sins of our forefathers. May He protect the believers, mu'mineen and mu'minat, muslimin and muslimat, wherever they are, mustaqafin, wherever they are in the world. Protect all of them, our marajat, and especially the leaders. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.